are on the bottom of Yoda Dalit Amud Beis 14b. We are up to the low, I think low, right? So we have the statement from
14b1?
No, 14b3
four,
probably. 14b4.
That's
right. So the Gemara had asked about this Bryce. So we had this Bryce that said, it was a Bryce we clarified a little bit, so hold on. Whether holich is kizachi. I'm trying to find the original Bryce. Yeah, I think this is it. We had said holich manu lepoinu v'holach v'ikshu lo maso. Tani chad v'mishalech v'tani idach v'yor shemish nishtal chulo. Basically, if somebody was said holich manu leploni, someone said, go bring this money to so-and-so, and then he went to look for him, but he couldn't find him. And then he dies. So one Tana said, give it back to the person that sent it. And one Tana said, give it to the inheritors of the one who sent it. Then we had another.
Not to the one that sent it.
Yeah.
The inheritors of the one that sent it?
No, the inheritors of the one
he was sending it to.
Yeah. Good. So then we had another example, which was relevant to that. So we had another machlokes about whether holich is kizachi based on that brisa, right? When he says holich, is that the same as saying acquire it on behalf of the yarshin, or acquire on behalf of the person, which would then mean the yarshin? So we had this other brisa, which was about 2/3 of the way down the page, where we quoted in order to say that maybe that machlokes is whether the word holich means zachi to acquire it. So with Titania, we said, holich manu leploni v'halach l'kshul maso, same thing. So yachsul mishalech. Then the Braisa said explicitly, meis mishalech, if the sender died. So Rabbi Nelson, Rabbi Yaakov said, you give it back, give it to the inheritors of the sender.
The sender.
And then some say you give it to the inheritors of the one who was sent to. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said from Rabbi Yaakov, as what we just the Rabbi Yaakov said, ultimately because from Rabbi Meir, that the mitzvah l'chaim divrei ha'meis, it's a mitzvah to fulfill that which the deceased said. And therefore, you should give it to the inheritors of the one who was sent to. And the Chachamim disagreed and said, actually, you should split it. And in Bava, they would say, whatever you want to do, you can do, because there's something to rely on in each case. And Rabbi Shimon came along and said, well, by me, there was a story, and we said, give it to the inheritors of the sender. So then the Gemara wanted to say, is that perhaps basically just arguing about whether the word holich means zechi? And we basically clarified what that meant. Now we're up to the answer of that question. When we had that brisa, and we had those four options, the inheritor of the sender, the inheritor of the sendee, fulfill the deceased, which is the same thing as the inheritor of the sendee in this case, or split it. So are they just arguing about what the word holich means? Is the word holich means zechi, to acquire it on behalf of the sendee, the one who's getting it? So the Gemara is saying now, it's not the same thing. Rather, this case was bari. The one who sent it was completely healthy. And the kuliyama, sorry, that's not the case, but the bari, the kuliyama, everyone agrees that the word holich means zechi. The word holich means zechi. Sorry, the word holich does not mean zechi. That when a person who's healthy says, bring this to so-and-so, and then the person who said, bring this to so-and-so, died, so the money goes back to the sender because it was unexpected. And the word holiness does not mean really to acquire. But this price that we're talking about was by a shchiv mira. We're talking about that the sender was already on his deathbed. And because of that, the plosaj Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon Kamechlagi. That's what we're arguing about, the same thing Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon argued about. It's not as the Mishnah said in Baba, as the Mishnah says in Baba Basar Kuf Nun Vav Amr Aleph, Hamachalik Nechasiv Alpev, someone who splits up their inheritance verbally without any transaction. I assume this means on their deathbed. Rabbi Elazar Omer Echad Bari Ve'Echad Mesukan. Rabbi Elazar says, regardless of whether they're healthy, so then they are going to split it equally in either case. Nechasim Sheish Lein Achrayas, any land which has a lien on it, so the Niknin Bechasav Vishtar V'Chazaka can be acquired through money, documents, or possession. That lands which are basically free or not liens, here it's saying that means movable property. Those can only be acquired through practical transaction. You have to take it. That is according to Rabbi Elazar. That when it comes to land or when it comes to metatolin, movable objects, both are going to be acquired through just speech. Okay, we'll continue with this line of within that world first before we tie it back into the holich situation. So Armulo and the Chacham said to Rabbi Yosef, Ma'asa b'iman shel b'nei Rochel, Shaisa Chola. There is a story of the children, the sons of Rochel. She was sick. Sorry, Rochel could be the man, but it's the mother we're talking about. Yeah, the sons of Rochel is the mother of the sons of Rochel. I don't know if we know her name.
She was sick.
She was sick, but yeah. Rochel is not her name. Rochel is her husband's name. The mother of the sons of Rochel. Rochel is the guy. Either way, she, the mother, was sick. V'amra, she said, Tinasein kevinasi. Kevinasi libiti.
Here it's a brooch.
Yeah, some kind of jewelry.
A brooch.
It should be given to libiti, to my daughter. V'hi v'shnema sarmana. And that was worth a lot of money. 1,200, whatever. Umeisa, and then she died. Mikim Chacham Estvarah, and the Chachamim basically fulfilled what she wanted, even though it was only verbal. And it was movable property. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar said to the Chachamim, B'nei Rochel Tikberei Mimam. Oy. The mother, even though she was sick at the time, will bear... The mother will bury her children, which I think basically means that the children will die early. They were not good people, and the fact that they did this does not mean that they should be trusted or should be brought as a proof for any halacha. Apparently they were over the Isra of Kilayim. I don't know how we know that.
They'll have thorns to grow in their vineyards.
Okay. Apparently that itself was controversial, whether it was okay. So either way, so that was the story. I don't know why we need the follow-up of the Rochel case, but now the government's going to try to tie it back in Tana Kama, in our Brisa, who said that the money goes back to the Mishaleach, the sender. So that's like Rabbi Elazar. That's the Rabbi Elazar who said that the words of a shchiv merah are not like they are written and given over, and therefore the one who is the messenger does not acquire it on behalf of anybody because no transaction has taken place by the one who's going to accept the money. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yaakov will say that when the sender dies, you give the money back to the inheritors of the sender. Namik Rabbi Elazar. They also hold the Rabbi Elazar. It's just that the guy died, as opposed to the Tanakhama, who were saying assumes that the guy didn't die. So Apa gav the mis, even though the Mishaleach dies, lo amrin mislekai mitiremes. We do not think that we should listen to whatever the guy said before that. Like Rabbi Elazar needs to have an acquisition of some kind. Vayoshe amrin, the one who say in that price, the one who said that the money goes to the inheritors of the one accepting the money, ultimately. To Rabbanan, that's like the Rabbanan who believe that just words alone are considered kimsurim haim. They're considered like it's already given over. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Shamar Mishim Rabbi Meir Rabbi Elazar, and the one, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who says like Rabbi Meir, that really all you have to do is to fulfill the words of the deceased. So that's Rabbi Elazar. Which I guess here means you have to go do the transaction in accordance to what he said. Hold on. Yeah, and the case is just miuhechet to miss. I'm reading miss lekayin de remes. We haven't seen that phrase associated with Rabbi Elazar yet. I guess it's the second component of that of the Rabbanan Shita there. That yes, we hold like Rabbi Elazar that nothing is considered to be given over, but we also hold that miss lekayin de remes. Whatever that means. I think also Mr. Lakanti Rame is basically saying it depends if the guy was healthy or not. Right? The Tanakhama thought the guy was healthy, and the next opinion thought he was on his deathbed. So it's only relevant. The Lakanti Rame is only relevant when the guy's on his deathbed. And the Chachamim say that you should split it. They're unsure. They're unsure whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar or the Rabbanan. The Kan Amru, Shuda Adas. And in this case, they said the messenger should do whatever he feels is appropriate. Oh, the Kan Amru. The Kan is referring to Bava. The Kan, when they said, when the Babylonians said in that case, that they should split it, that the messenger should do it. So they held that in this case, the messenger's own calculation would be better than splitting it among the people. Rabbi Shimon Anasi, Masa Asal Ashminan. Rabbi Shimon Anasi thinks that, Rabbi Shimon Anasi is just telling us that this happened once.
That
we pass on Rabbi Nasser.
Why would it be better for the messenger to be in charge of what to do with it?
Yeah, it's unclear why.
It's not really his to do with it. He was told what to do, to deliver it to such and such, right?
Yeah.
The such and such died, so what does he do with it? He should give it over to the people that are young.
My impression of the situation is that maybe the messenger had better knowledge of how confident the person sending it really wanted to give it over. Was it, I'm dying and I want to make sure all my stuff is taken care of and whatever? Or is it like, you have to get this done? That kind of thing. So the Shaleach knows exactly how, or the Shaleach knows exactly.
What he's told to do.
Yeah, that's my impression. I don't know.
Or he knows what the Shaleach wanted him to do.
The sender wanted him to do the Shaleach, yeah. Ibai Elihu, Rabbi Shimon HaNasi Nasihu. When we said Rabbi Shimon HaNasi, that was who brought that story in order to say that we pass like Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yaakov, that we give it to the Yorshe Mishaleach, the Yorshe Mishneh Sachalo. So when we said his name, Rabbi Shimon HaNasi, was he a Nasi? Was he really one of the Nasiim? Mishmei de Nasik? Oh, Mishmei de Nasik. Or was he saying this in the name of a Nasi? So Tashma Dabar Rav Yosef Halach Rav Shimon Nasi. Rav Yosef believes that we pass from Rav Shimon HaNasi. Vadayin Tibay Halach Nasi Hu O Dekam Mishmei de Nasi. And we asked him, when you said Halach is like him, does that mean he was a Nasi? Or are you saying that he was passing like him when he's quoting a Nasi? So the Gemara says, take it, we don't know. Gufam Rav Yosef Halach Rav Shimon HaNasi V'Hakayim Alan Divresh Gemir Ksum Zerundam. Don't we hold that the case of a Shchiv Meirah, we have passed in that it's considered like it's given over, which is according to the Rabbanu, which is not like Rabbi Nasser of Yaakov. Hold on. Oh. Hold on. Yeah, Rabbi Nasser of Yaakov were the ones who said that it should go to the inheritors of the sender, not the inheritance of the one who's being sent to. So here, we're saying we pass on Rav Shimon HaNasi, who's passing like that, that it should go to the Mekabel, the one who's getting the money, but his inheritors. So then how could we pass on Rav Shimon HaNasi if we know we paskin that the instructions of a Shchiv Meira are considered like they're already given over? In which case, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Nasan, which Rabbi Shimon HaNasi paskins like, and we're now saying we pass on Rav Shimon HaNasi. Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Yaakov says it goes to the inheritors of the sender. And now but we also know that we pass and that a Shchiv Meirah, someone is on their deathbed, so his words are considered like a transaction, and therefore they should go to the one who's being sent to. So how could it be that we pass on Rav Shimon HaNasi, and we also pass and that the words of a person on the deathbed are considered like they're signed and sealed? Rabbi Yosef Melchilav Bibari, that this case of the Braisa was not a case of a Shchiv Meirah, and therefore it's not a Machlokas. But doesn't the Gemara say that Rabbi Shimon HaNasi said you should give the money to the Yarshin of the Mishalach? What does that mean, the Yarshin of the Mishalach? How could you give it to the inheritors of the sender if we're talking about a person who's not dead? Right? It's not a Shchiv Meirah case. When they said to give it to the inheritors of the sender, he wasn't on a deathbed. Well, then how are there inheritors? So the Gemara says, "V'kaim alan mitzvah l'kaim divrei meis," and we paskin that we still have to give it. We still have to follow the halacha that you follow the one who's dead, even if the one who died, even if that person was healthy before he died, regardless of whether if he was on his deathbed or not. So the Gemara says, "Yeah, you got me in a bind." Tani yachzur l'mishalach. Really, it's meant to say, give it back to the sender, not the inheritors of the sender. All right. That gets us out of the bind to explain how we paskin Rav Shimon HaNasi and we paskin Mitzvah Kana Divrei Meis and Divrei Shchiv Meirah Ksum Sum Dam. Okay. Hazrin Lach HaMevi Kama. There are two shrekim called HaMevi Get. So we just finished HaMevi Kama, which is the first parak called HaMevi. Now we're going to start the second parak called Hamevi. Hamevi get minin esayam amalo b'fanan echtam. Someone who brings a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and he says the first phrase b'fanan echtam, but he doesn't say the second phrase b'fanan echtam. Or b'fanan echtam amalo b'fanan echtam. I think that was one of the propositions on the early machloksim of Rava and Reva. Both of them, for one reason or another, needed to say both phrases. But here we're saying, you didn't say the whole phrase. One or the other, you didn't say. B'fanei nechtam kulo, b'fanei nechtam chetzio. Or if he said, in front of me, only half of it, all of it or half of it. Oh, sorry, if he said, the whole thing was written in front of me, and only half of it was signed in front of me, meaning I only saw one witness on the document. B'fanei nechtav chetzio, b'fanei nechtav kulo, or the other way around. So possible in either case, it would be possible. That's strange because we saw probably 10 days ago, that if the shliach only hears, you remember this Gemara? Even only hears the rolling up of the get, that's good enough. So I don't know why that would be a problem if he only sees a little bit of it, but okay. Maybe we'll get to that. Echad Omer, so those are possible. You need to see both the Ksiva and the Chasima. Echad Omer b'fani nechtam, Echad Omer b'fani nechtam. If somebody said, if one person said it was written in front of me, the other person said it was signed in front of me, that's also possible. We need someone who saw both. This, by the way, is apparently Machlokas Rav and Rava. According to Rav, who says it's all about Lishma, you really only need one witness, and the reason why it would be bad is because he needs to see both the Ksiva and the Chasima be Lishma. According to Rava, you need two people for witness testimony. Okay. Shnayim Omer v'fanei nechtam, Echad Omer v'fanei nechtam, possible Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. In the case where two people saw the writing was done properly and only one person saw
the signing
done properly, so that's no good. Rabbi Yehuda says that's good enough. Echad Omer v'fanei nechtam, Shnayim Omer v'fanei nechtam. If one said it was written in front of me, and two said it was signed in front of me, so then it's kasher. The signing seems to be more important because everyone agrees on that one. Says Gemara, Hatu Lamali.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. Does that mean there's three people now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three different people.
Yeah.
Okay, says Gemara, ha, why do we need to learn in the Mishnah that if the Shliach changes the text, it's no good? Too lamely, why do we have to know that? Hatanali Chadazim, we already heard that. The first Mishnah said, you have to say, the implication of that is, if you didn't say that, it's no good. So Gemara says, even I hear both from the first Mishnah, have a mina tarech, you have to say, lechachila. If you didn't say it perfectly, so maybe it would still be kasher b'dieved. That's why it has to teach us again that really it's not good even if you say partial. What does it mean that I only saw half of it written? If you're going to tell me the first part is called the Torah. The Torah is the main part of the get. That's where it talks about the individuals who are getting divorced. If you're going to tell me the first part, the Torah, which is the main part, so v'hamer Rabbi Elazar afilu kasav bo ela shita achas lishma shuv eno tzarech. As long as he wrote even one line, the main line, to with the proper intentions. So then you don't need anything else for the witness to see. So that can't be. Ela Amar Ravashi, it must be Chetio Achron. It must be the latter half that he saw, which is the less important half. That's basically where the line says, you're allowed to go marry whoever you want. And that's called the Tofes. The Toref is first. I guess you can remember it with the oration there. Toref is first, and the Tofes is second. There you go. The Rish and the Samach, you could use those as indicators. Okay, so that must be what the case is. He only saw the Tofes, the end of it. B'fani nechtam kula, b'fani nechtam chetyo, pasul. So, let's learn this more, extend from here. Amar v'chistav, afil shnayim idim al chasimath yad sheni pasul. Even if two witnesses testify on the second one's signature, it's still possible. My time, Okulo b'kiyamaget, okulo b'tzakanas l'chamim. You either need two, you need one, sorry, how many people do you need here? Okulo, yeah, you need two witnesses of both signatures, or you need one shliach to fulfill the sakana of the chachamim that he can say, this was written in front of me. But if you only have either on one signature, that's not good enough. And that's why even two witnesses on the second signature is not good enough. because you need two witnesses on both signatures, or one shliach to say this was written b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Ma'av kibbal rava, mikamidu z'ilu amar chad, kasher, hash z'ika trib, hafel. Are we saying that if there was one shliach who would say that I saw both witnesses sign, and we say that that's good, now we're going to say if there's two on one, that we're not going to say, we're going to say it's no good, just because they're violating the original takana, or they're not doing it exactly, but it's better, it has more testimony, more witness testimony, should be better, not worse. El Amareva, Afilu, who the Acher Me'idin Achasimit HaSheni, even if it's the same guy and some other guy who's testifying about the second one, the second signature, that's possible. And the Chiddush there is that even though the Shliach on his own could have testified on the second witness on by himself and said, both of these signatures were signed in front of me, the fact that he now brings somebody else who's a stranger to testify on one of the witnesses, so then he's now disqualified his testimony. My time, why? What's the reason? We're going to make it, the people are going to mistakenly believe that you can randomly do this. You bring some other random person in and make them the second witness. And we don't want that to happen. Says Gemara v'kanafik, Nechei Riva d'mamona apuma t'chad sadeh. What does this mean? What does this mean? Three-fourths. If
it says here, it's a long, there's a long...
Three out of four required witnesses, that's what I think it's saying.
An agent stated he witnessed one signing. He's invested with the credibility of two witnesses and confirmed that signature. We then allow him to join with an outside witness to confirm the second signature in a standard manner. It would appear that the agent provided three quarters of the testimony necessary to confirm the gap.
Yeah. Okay. Because it seems like he needed two witnesses on the second part. So then we're going to assume he really needed two on the first part also. But the fact that it still works means that, oh, you could do one and then just sort of sacrifice a quarter of it. So says the mask of Ravashi, me committed the ilumask like ihu the lukuli dibura. Kasher hash dika chad bahade pasul. We're going to say that if we would believe him for everything, we're going to say we believe him for everything if he said it by himself. Now we're going to say if he adds another person, it's going to be possible. That doesn't make any sense. El Amar Ravashi, Afilu Omar Ani Hu Eid Sheni, possible. Says Ravashi, really what the reason, what the idea is that even if he says, I am the second one, and therefore there's no other witness about the second signature, so then because he is the second signature, so it's possible. That's no good. My time, why? O Kul B'Kiyum Get, O Kul B'Takanas Chachamim, you either need witness testimony, meaning two witnesses to witness the whole thing, or you need one person that can fulfill the entire requirement, meaning the requirement of the chachamim, which is b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. But this guy can't do either. Tana, the Mishnah said, b'fanei nechta kulo, b'fanei nechta, chesyo, puzzle. Going back to what we said before. If somebody said, I saw the whole thing written, and in front of me I only saw half of it signed, meaning I only saw one witness signature. So, idach chesyo hechidami. How could it be the other signature? Ilem adalekam kamasid aleklal, if there is no witness to that signature, then hash the echr omr v'nei nechtav, the echr omr v'nei nechtam, the high we already know that if you have one guy saying, I saw it written, and another guy saying, I saw it signed, that's no good. Do we need to know that if a guy saw only half of one signature, half of the signatures, that would be good? Of course it wouldn't be good. If a different guy saw the entirety of the signatures, it would still be no good. Ella,
that's somehow a
There's somehow a response to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was the one who said, Chisda was the one who said, even two that witness, the second one is puzzle. Yeah, okay. Yeah, Rav Chisda trying to interpret the Mishnah as if it's a statement on the second signature with real testimony. But we already know that if there's a different testimony on the second one's signature, it's no good. So we really wouldn't have to say it again. El Okadarava, rather, the implication of the Mishnah is to teach us that if the Shliach added somebody, a random stranger, oh, Kedirav Ashi, which is that even if the Shliach said, I'm the second signature, both of them are apostle. And to the exclusion of the camp, like Rav Chisda, who thinks that the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that if two witnesses come about the second signature, the get is apostle, because that's already included, or that's too much of a Chiddush, I guess. There's a lesser Chiddush, you could say. He would have said that explicitly. That's what I have here. Okay, interesting. Rav Chisda would say back, and according to you, why is it that we have to give the example of in front of me was written, in front of me, but not in front of me was it signed? Why do we need that? We already learned, according to you, that half of the second one's no good. So of course, if you got none of the second one, meaning the chesima is no good. Yeah, if you only got one signature from the guy who said b'fanei nechtam, it's still no good. So why would you need to say that b'fanei nechtam, lo b'fanei nechtam at all is no good? Ela lozu avzu katani. Really, it's saying not only is it no good if it's a lo b'fanei nechtam, but even if it's a chetzya nechtam, even if I saw one of the two signatures as opposed to no signatures, that's also no good. So hachanam lozu avzu katani. For me also, when I said my shtickle, that also the witness testimony, but separate with the witness testimony and the chasima is no good, that's also a lozu avzu. Yeah. Even if there's witness testimony on the second signature, that's also another. Amr Chisda Gidud. Gidud. What does that mean, Gidud?
It says an embankment.
Embankment?
Yeah.
Okay. Gidud Chamisha Mechitza. Who Mechitza? If there is, I think this is an Erevin Gemara. Is this an Erevin question? Why are we talking about this? Shabbos question.
Just as the Gemara is digressing to discuss other cases of combining to achieve a legal
okay.
status.
So before we're trying to combine two witness testimonies, now we're trying to combine two, I guess, heights. So it's Amar Gidur Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Ein Mistarfin. Ashay Okul B'Mechitza Okul B'Gidur. Basically saying that from our perspective on this side of the wall, the wall is 10 tefachim high because half of that is a hill and half of that is a wall. That's not good enough. It's got to be all a wall or all an embankment. So Darash Mimar Gidur Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Mistarfin Mehilchah Mistarfin. We hold that it does actually connect. We do not pass like Rav Chisda that it has to be one or the other. So Echem Ilim Et Kamashu Beitrei. What's the situation if we're saying that Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilema. Oh, sorry. Bay Ilfa, I missed the line. Bay Ilfa, Yidam Torah Chatzain, oh, Ain Torah Chatzain. If you, Ilfa asked, if your hands are pure only half, or are they not pure only half? So what's the question? Here's Kidami. Elim and Kamashu Beitrei, if two people wash their hands, one right after the other, Miravias, from the same Miravias of water, I guess their hands are like under each other, so then, Vatana, Miravias, Notmi Adayim Lechad Vatilishnaim, you can use one Miravias of water. Ve'ela de Kamashi Chada Chada Yade. Rather, one person is washing one hand at a time. And if one person poured on the hand and one person put his hand in the water, it's still tahoros. So both of those already are referred to. Really, it's half of a hand and half of a hand. Right, so you pour half and you dry it off. I guess half and you dry it off and another half and you dry it off. We said you can't do it half and half. So really what we're talking about here is that it was still wet on the other hand, on the other side of the hand. Is that really going to do anything better? They can't combine, even though you do half and half. Okay, we'll get to this tomorrow, Mr. Shem.